This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Alrighty, hour number two. What's happening, Tiki and Tierney? It's the Tiki and Tierney Show here on CBS Sports Radio. No Teak today. He's back Monday, so rolling solo, which is why I recruit some of my friends, including one of my favorites. She is absolutely awesome. I've known her for a long time now. Time has flown. I've known her almost a decade. Wow. One of the smartest people I know for sure. I always say that. Absolutely one of the kindest people I know. Former executive of the Raiders, noted author, chairman of the Big Three, CBS Sports NFL analyst, which is where we were teammates for just about 8 years, my good friend Amy Trask. How you doing, Amy? What's up, kiddo?
Boy, I am doing well, except for the fact that you just brought to my mind how long we have known one another and how long we have worked with one another. How did that many years go by?
Amy, I don't know. It's not like I started with hair. And I don't really feel, even though I have aged, we've all aged during the years we worked together. It's not like we started the show and I had this nice head of hair and I didn't have any gray in the beard. No, I had no hair and I had a few gray whiskers. So I really feel the same and kind of look the same.
You know what? You do. And here's to us not ever acting our age when we're together.
That
and
is
by
true.
The way, shouldn't today's show be Tierney and Tierney since Tiki has ditched us?
Well, that's implied. I mean, listen, we'll make this segment Tierney and Trask. Matter of fact, I'll make it Trask and Tierney because you were the star of this segment. I got a ton of things I want to talk to you about. But first of all, let me just get to this little Twitter rumor. You're not trying to team me up for a Big Three tryout, are you? Is this true?
Sure. Oh, sure I am.
No
Come
way.
On. Come on. No. Look, I know you still got game. You know you got game. Gosh. We're having open tryouts, one in D.C., one in Dallas. A minimum of 5 people from each tryout are getting invited to the combine, and I see no reason whatsoever why you can't be one of them.
You know, it's funny, Aim, and as you know, I've obviously done work with the Big Three. I support the Big Three. I've had Cuba on the show many times. I would truly come out with no intention, or not intention, with no design or no belief that I would actually do well. I would actually come out and mess around, but I got to tell you, when I ruptured my Achilles, I've got a 7-inch zipper behind my left ankle from playing hoops when that thing rolled up like a lampshade, like Kevin Durant and many others. Unfortunately, all I do now is shoot stationary jump shots. And I've been at a lot of Big Three events with a microphone. There's not a lot of stationary jump shots being taken. There's a lot of going to the rim. There's a lot of some hard fouls. There's a lot of scrapping. Way too slow and way too old to play, but certainly down to watch and obviously hold the microphone again, hopefully, as well. But I appreciate it, but I'm going to have to respectfully turn down your overture. I'm done.
Okay, well, wait. I'll just tell you on behalf of the Big Three, we loved having you work with us. And, of course, we shut down for the pandemic, as did most businesses. We are thrilled with the focus on the Big Three right now and the attention and the excitement and the enthusiasm. And we're looking forward to coming back. And the reason I note all that is if you don't want to try out, we look forward to involving you and having you with us in some capacity. Because we know you love the Big Three, and the Big Three loves you.
It's fun. I mean, listen, there was a lot of – now, I don't know what you can reveal. Then we'll get into all the football stuff. I know that last year there was a plan. See, the way it was a couple of years ago before the pandemic is that we would do it on Saturday and do it on Sundays in different cities. the way it was presented to me last year was that it was going to be one straight swoop, all the teams in one city, I believe on a Saturday, make it more of a festive thing with food and with music in the parking lot. Is that still the plan, or can you not divulge that yet?
I'm going to divulge to you. We are going to be entirely up until our playoffs and our championship, and we have not yet announced where those will be. Mm-hmm. But for the first 8 weeks of the season, the regular season, if you will, we will be in two locations. We will be in Las Vegas, and we will be in New Orleans. And
Ooh.
As you know from your involvement with the Big Three in the past, wow. it is a festival.
Yes.
It's far more than basketball. Yes, the basketball is competitive. It is fierce. You know me, BT. I like when there's fouls and there's fights and
yeah.
people are getting scrappy. And by the way, I once almost ran on the court until someone grabbed me and said, yo, Ames, don't go in there because you're not going to come out of this, okay? There was a big fight, and I just felt myself getting ready to go in.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're going to be in two locations up until the playoffs and the championship, and there will be music, and it will be a festival as well as the basketball. Of course, we will comply with each and every protocol in place to make sure that everyone – fans, players, coaches, everyone is safe.
That sounds awesome. So you heard that here. Vegas and New Orleans. Wow, that's going to be popping.
You know what? I wonder if I just broke news with you. Maybe so.
All right. Well, good person to break news with. That's not a bad
Absolutely.
Thing if you're breaking it on the show. I like it. So that's Amy Trask. If you don't know Amy, you're probably not a football fan. And if you don't know Amy, you're probably not on social media, because Amy has the ability, the uncanny ability, and I put quotes around this, and I mean this with a good connotation, to wiggle into so many different exchanges from so many people on social media. Like, I would not expect to see Amy engaged in, and then all of a sudden there's like three or four exchanges and she's right in the middle of a conversation, having fun and sharing her wisdom. So if you don't follow her on Twitter, you should. And for the record, about 4 years ago, maybe three, I remember we were talking during a commercial break, and I said, Aim, you got to get involved in this Twitter thing. The way you, the salient thoughts, the way you write, you have to embrace it. And she was so reluctant. She finally, I'm not saying she dove in because of me, but she got involved, and she's awesome.
You know what, BT, I remember that. You said, Aim, you got to do Twitter. And I said, oh, BT, I am never going to go into Twitter. I'm not going to do it. And you were persuasive. And now I've pretty much decided that Twitter must have been invented for me. I love it so much.
You're so strong with it. Okay, so Aaron Rodgers reportedly turned down an offer for the Packers to become the highest paid quarterback in football, which would have been around $45, $46 million a year. So if that report is true, working under that assumption, if it's true and the rejection is true as well, it tells me right now that he's not motivated by money. So I ask, and I asked this in my audience to start the show, is he motivated solely by spite? And if that's the case, how is this resolved amicably or swiftly?
Well, look, I don't know what motivates him. As you said, we're going to assume for the sake of this conversation that that piece of information is true. We don't know whether it's true or not. He may want any number of things. It has occurred to me with his foray into television that he may and by the way, with having a fiance, I believe they're engaged, who's involved in entertainment, he may simply want to be closer to Hollywood, closer to Los Angeles, so he can do both things or transition. So hence his potential interest in San Francisco, and I don't see Green Bay wanting to trade him, if at all, to another NFC team, or to Denver, which is closer. So proximity to California may matter. You know, a long-term commitment may matter. Don't just tell me you're going to pay me a lot for this year and I'm holding a place for the next quarterback, who, by the way, you drafted last year and didn't even tell me about it ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I do take issue with that. I don't take issue with Green Bay drafting whatever player they want, but that's just a courtesy. You're going to draft another quarterback. Pick up the phone and call your quarterback and just say, hey, I don't want you surprised by this. I don't want you learning this on television. Teams do that kind of thing all the time. So he may still be ruffled by that.
Mm-hmm. Amy, is that a new thing? Like, I can't imagine Al picking up the phone or you by the, you know, as an extension of Al or whomever in the front office. Hey, guys, we're just a heads up. We're drafting so-and-so. Like, that wasn't done back in the day, was it?
Yeah, that's it was.
Really?
It was, BT. And by the way, it would surprise a lot of people to know how often Al made nice calls of any nature on draft day. There was one draft in particular. We were going to trade a certain player mm-hmm. to move up in the draft. and before it was our turn and before it was announced, Al personally called that player and said, look, we're going to trade you, and I wanted you to hear it from me first.
Interesting.
And you know, I think a lot of people would be surprised that on draft day, not only would a team call a player to let them know a trade was coming, but that Al did that personally. And so, you know, look, again, is the team have to do it? Of course not. But sometimes communication, as you know, is extraordinarily important to players, just as it's important in any relationship.
There's no question. I mean, whether it's a marriage, whether it's just an office relationship, you've got to have open dialogue, and it's really the only way to go. I'm with you. We're talking to the great Amy Trask, CBS Sports NFL analyst, chairman of the Big Three as well, and got a little news dropping before Vegas and New Orleans, the site up until the playoffs, which is sweet. The first 8 weeks in Vegas and New Orleans, nice. All right, so mentioned Al before. I find it interesting. The 49ers came out, Jed York basically said, hey, listen, you know, Trey Lance is young. He's 20 years old as of today. And, you know, we're fairly amenable if it happens to be 2 years where he sits and watches before he takes over, then organizationally we're okay with that. I'm okay with 1 year. I'm not a huge fan of going from 12 to 3 and giving up all those premium assets to have a kid sit on ice for 2 years. What's your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are, you know, in the old days, if you will, before the current CBA, sometimes players sat a while. Aaron Rodgers sat behind Brett Favre. And by the way, as to Green Bay, history sort of repeating itself in that regard. But look, it's a bold statement by Jed. Maybe he really means it. Maybe he's hoping it's more like 1 year. But stating that could be both comforting to Trey and comforting to Jimmy. So, you know, I don't doubt Jed's sincerity, but I also don't know that it will be 2 years. I will tell you, I was impressed with Jimmy when Jimmy came out and said, look, I'm going to do for Trey what Tom did for me. You know, pay it forward, in essence. He didn't mm-hmm. use that exact expression. But I thought the grace with which Jimmy's handling this is very impressive.
Yeah, and you know what I said? Teague and I were talking about this, Amy. I said, listen, this is a nice roadmap to tack on, you know, 3, 4, 5 more years in some spots to your career and make good money as a backup. If you're thought to be, not that Jimmy wants to do that now, but if you're viewed as somebody much like Teddy Bridgewater, which is why Teddy's going to have work for a while, probably not as a starter, but Teddy just enhances the quarterback room. And, you know, if you're amenable to showing the ropes to the young kids and you understand the process, and even if you're getting drafted over, you're going to make a paycheck for a long time as a backup quarterback because by extension, you're almost a coach.
Great point. And look, it's no coincidence that when they won the Super Bowl, one of the first people Patrick Mahomes thanked was Alex Smith. Because boy,
yes.
Oh boy, did he, you know, look, he was on the team. He saw them draft Patrick. He knew what the future was going to bring. And yet he did absolutely everything he could do to help Patrick become the quarterback he has become. And I just thought it was tremendously generous and gracious of Jimmy to state the same vis-a-vis Trey.
No question. So that's Amy Trask. Amy's with me here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Listen, we all love Gruden. Let's get back to your Raiders here. Everybody loves Gruden on TV. You know, he's energetic, he's feisty, he just lights up a TV, and he's a Super Bowl winning coach, and so the resume certainly speaks for itself. But I don't know. I mean, $10 million a year over 10 years, and still there's 7 years to go. I get that. If I'm Mark Davis, I would expect to be a little further along, at least from organizationally, and I got to be honest here. I mean, they've made some head-scratching decisions in terms of who they've, like, their draft selections. Feels like they reach a lot. Is this what they expected, or let me frame it this way. Should they be disappointed so far with the returns?
Well, you know, look, I think every single person with the organization, my understanding is they expected more improvement sooner than they are seeing it, and there's two issues to look at here. Let me back up and say I've not read the contract. So, yes, it's been reported to be 10 years, 10 million, all of that. I don't know if there's any outs, if there's any write-offs. I don't know any mm-hmm. of that. But certainly no matter how you craft it, it is a very, very considerable commitment, both in terms of time and in money. And I do believe that the organization and those in the organization expected things to move more quickly. I know the fans did. But I also know it's an extremely patient fan base, an extremely generous fan base. You know I love the Raider Nation fans.
Of course.
And I just hope the very, very, very best for them. And perhaps we will see that this year. The offense clicked last year. Tremendous, tremendous problems on defense. They have spent some energy looking to improve the defense. Why they did what they did with Khalil Mack a few years ago is beyond me, because boy, oh boy, could he be helping. But we'll see. If they can get the defense improved, and they should be able to this year, we should see improvement.
You know, I don't even know the answer to this question, but I feel like I should. Have you been to the new Raider Stadium?
I have not.
Gotcha. Have you been able to tell, at least through your contacts, the early imprint that the blossoming Raider, we know that they're going to always roll with them from the East Bay, but the fandom now in Las Vegas, I know the stadium was empty, but have they fully embraced the team? Have they gravitated toward the Raiders yet, or is it still slow?
Well, you know, the Raider fans come from all over to the games, and what I think we're going to see in Las Vegas is several things. Number one, there will be fans that travel from the East Bay that follow the team. You know firsthand, BT, how passionate that fan base was. There are going to be fans, there are fans who said, you know what, no, I can't. You know, you broke my heart. I'm not going to go to games in Las Vegas. And as I said, there will be fans that will go to games in Vegas. For the fans of the team that are in Southern California, the big, big majority of those fans are in the eastern part of L.A., in an area called the Inland Empire. That's a pretty easy drive to Vegas. You don't even need to fly there to go.
That's true.
And, of course, one thing I do think we'll see, though, is we will see more fans of the visiting team at games in Las Vegas once travel is back to normal than we did in Oakland. Look, in Oakland, you were there, BT. You saw that on game day. It was, what, 95-97% Raider fans?
Yep.
Well, if you're a fan of a team playing the Raiders on the road and you can only go to one road game for your team, we all saw Vegas Vacation. Vegas, baby, we're going. So
that's
I do
right.
think you'll see more visiting team fans in the stadium, but certainly the vast, vast majority will be Raider fans from all over.
Well, they always come correct. Let me hit you with this and leave us with this. So over the years, I estimate, you know, roughly, depending upon how many Super Bowl shows we did together as a cast, you and I have probably done roughly 200-plus shows together, about 25 a year over the course of 8 years.
Good that's math.
That's about 200. And not once, really, during those 200 shows was I genuinely or rightfully optimistic about the direction of my Jets. You know that, because think about what they've been through. The end of the Rex Ryan era, the Todd Bowles era, and then the horrendous Adam Gase era. You know the league as well as anybody. I've got my thoughts. I really believe in Joe Douglas. I love the intellect and energy of Rob Saleh. Are the Jets finally in good hands here?
Well, BT, for your sake, if not for my cousin, who is also a Jets fan, I hope so. And I mean that for all Jets fans. You mentioned Joe. I was going to chime in on Robert. I think they made a terrific decision at head coach.
Me too.
So I'm excited to see what will happen. Look, the best coaches, best position players to be their best. And Adam Gase didn't do that.
Oh, God.
So whatever one may think about Adam and his skills, and he certainly had some skills, the best coaches, best position players to be their best. And I think they now have a head coach in place who will do that. So I think your optimism is well grounded.
Yeah, I really feel like it's not unfounded. It's not contrived like I've mustered up over the years. Like it really feels like it's the early part of seeds being planted, and now we'll see what kind of fruit it bears. But listen, Aim, it's always a treat catching up with you. You know I think the world of you. You know I love you. I always will. Say hi to your husband for me, number one.
I will, and you give your family my love, and it's always such a treat for me to speak with you. I will use my mother's expression. I am tickled pink when I get to speak with you. And I'll leave you with one thought.
Okay.
You know what begins with T besides Tiki and Tierney?
Trask.
I'm just saying.
Gotcha. Understood. I said a little sponsorship. I know how your wheels churn. Always about the money. Not that you're so greedy, but I mean, you're always thinking about the way your mind goes.
Slide on over, man. Slide on over. Tiki, Tierney, and Trask.
Give us that coin. I'll talk to you soon, Amy. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
You got it. Amy Trask. Awesome. Love her. The best. CBS Sports NFL analyst. Chairman of the Big Three. How about that? Vegas and New Orleans. I mean, we had some fun in some of those cities a couple of years ago, but they were a little bit off the beaten path. You know, we were in Oklahoma City. which was great. We were in Detroit. I mean, can you imagine? Oh, boy, that would be a lot of fun. And I was just telling the Vegas story, ironically. D-Cell, go back to the roots of being poor. You know, do a little work for the big three again, hopefully. So, love Amy. She is the best. Let's get to this coming up next. All right, guys, I mean, enough. We've seen a lot of chirping, a lot of whining, a lot of complaining. But one superstar says that's it. Enough is enough. It's got to end. We'll tell you who it is and what he plans to do about it. That's next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Tiki and Tierney back, CBS Sports Radio. It was great. Hopefully you guys really enjoyed that thorough chat with my girl, Amy Trask. It was really, really good. So next hour, CJ Nikowski, a little baseball. He's part of the crew, MLB Network, does a radio show. He's also part of the Rangers TV crew. Good friend of the show, known CJ Fry. Actually, I used to do a show with CJ when we first started. This is, D-Cell, how about this? When we first launched CBS Sports Radio, right? So January 2nd, 2013, to get my contract to where I needed it to get to leave San Francisco, where I was doing afternoon drive, you know, they said, okay, to get to that number, we're going to have you do a Saturday show in addition. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. Yeah, this is before kids. Yeah, that's cool. So CJ and I did a baseball show, Eye on Baseball, for about, oh God, certainly for the first season. And then I'm called my agent. I'm like, yo, I can't do six shows. This is it. So, okay. Nothing against CJ, but just, you know, try to get me off the show. And Eric Spitz, my former boss, did. But they didn't change the contract. That worked out pretty well.
You big timed them, is what you're saying.
No, not really. I just strategically was able to circumvent some of the work that they wanted me to do. Which, by the way, I love talking baseball, but it's a grind because you know what it was? It was a lot of, here's what it was. It was because I was working too many. Listen, a lot of guys do 6-day radio shows like Mad Dog for years. I don't know if he still does it. He was doing a Saturday show on FAN despite doing afternoon drive. And I think Evan Roberts maybe still does a Saturday. I'm not sure. But the problem with me is that I was doing Tops every Sunday. And I was doing St. John's Big East stuff. So I was literally working 7 days a week, and it was like for 7 months. And I'm like, it's not sustainable. That's what it was. But the point is, CJ's great. We have a great rapport, and he will join me next hour, as will Sam Burns. Who is Sam Burns? Well, he won the Valspar a week ago. A little golf, and we'll do that. All right, next segment, Nets lost again, despite having two-thirds of the big three back on the court. Four straight for the Nets. What's up? Is it just a blip, or is it just too late for this this big three trio to gel, even though Harden, the returns physically on Harden are favorable? Looks like he's inching near a return. All right, so Luka Doncic. Now, if you watch the Mavericks, he incessantly whines. Every play, incessantly whines. And even when it's nonverbal, you know, it's the gyrations, the hands are in the air, looking to the sky, the body, oh, I was fouled. Where's the whistle? And one. Why didn't you blow it? You know, it is a lot. Right now, I want to play something from Les, because it finally seems like he gets it. I actually have no problem with guys who are temperamental. Like, I don't even care if, I don't want to see you get 16 texts, which would force you to miss a game. That's a little bit unnecessary. And right now, Doncic has 15 because they rescinded one that he got against the Knicks when he literally said, and won, and I think they misunderstood what he said. So they wound up rescinding that. So he's got 15 now. One more, he's going to get hit with that game, with that suspension. And he vowed last night to rectify this and not let that happen and really change his methods. But listen, if you get like 13 or 14 texts, even if you get 15 and you just stop short of the ledge, I don't care about the combustibility, but I don't want to see the constant lack of a better word, the whiny begging. Like, that's annoying. I don't care if you're demonstrative. Like, if you genuinely get ticked off and pissed and angry like Draymond Green, I have no problem with that. None. Doncic, he's too good to, I'm saying begging in the basketball, you know what I mean, if you played, quit begging, to be begging for calls. And he addressed us last night, and it seems like one of the stars in the NBA is about to change his methods.
You and Dwight Howard tied for the most technical fouls with 15, and if you get one more, you get suspended a game. Over your last six, how are you going to remain Luka and play to a high level, but also not let your emotions get out of control?
Yeah, for sure. You know, this season has been long. You know, I wasn't myself this season. You know, I've complaining way too much, and I got to work on that. You know, and I just got to stay calm and just not talk to them. I got to learn from that.
All right, by the way, that was, of course, the great Ernie Johnson, NBA on TNT. Speaking of TNT, just a quick sideways flip of the car here, or turn of the car. Did you see, and I really hope you did because it was pretty gross, but did you see Shaq the other night with the, when he had something hanging from his nose? Anybody see that?
I did.
I mean, the interplay was this. The Candace Parker lost it. And by the way, you know, every time they get into their little beef, which has happened a few times, I always say how great Candace is. She really is phenomenal on air. She does her homework. Her delivery is awesome. She is a star. And D-Wade's pretty good, too. But D-Wade actually, he got my buddy D-Wade, he kind of called me out on the NBA on TNT about a month or so ago, maybe a little bit more, for my take on Randall Bosch. Remember that? You remember that. And D-Wade basically told me to, I don't know if he said shut up or, no, he said don't be stupid. That's what he said when they put my tweet up on the show. Don't be stupid. Still not wrong, D-Wade, but aside from that, he grabbed a huge thing of paper towels, and he got like four of them. And, you know, you got the perforated edges, or you got to rip it off. He got like four of them, and he was trying to get them down to Shaq. Oh, my God. He didn't know. They were all trying to tell him that he had something hanging from his nose, and it was a monster. Shaq is a trip. He is an absolute trip. But, you know, the thing with Doncic last night on the show, I think that's great self-awareness. And again, there is a real difference between being tightly wound and a little combustible and sometimes, you know, overreacting in spurts versus the constant, incessant whining. And Diesel, you watch as much NBA as I do. You love the game. I mean, really, Luka, he does whine. He's begging for every call. It's too much.
It's over the top. It's a lot. And the self-awareness sounds really good. It's easier said than done. I love the self-awareness. Now I need to see it in practice.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the first step is to acknowledge there's a bit of an issue. I mean, is it a problem? Maybe that's a bit strong, but it could be an issue. You know, I think that the great ones harness whatever is a little askew or a little awry early in their careers, whether it's a slight defect in their game, which he really has none of. You know, tighten up the body, I think, over the next year or two, and then he's completely unstoppable. But there's really no tangible deficiencies to his game. The only thing he's got to work on is this nightly combustibility, because it's just annoying. You know, and what happens, you see, it's really twofold if you think about this, D-Cell. Not only, excuse me, is there a direct correlation to, you know, getting hit with that 16 tee and having to sit for a game, but, I mean, these refs are human. And even if they don't tee you up, you know, they're going to remember. And you know what? He's probably not probably. He's definitely not getting as many calls as he should. For his elusiveness, for his body control, for his dexterity, for his overall greatness with the rock and his range and his instincts and his use of spacing and angles. I mean, it's criminal that he doesn't get more calls. But when you're a human being and you've got a 22-year-old kid berating you all the time, I got to be honest, I'd probably swallow the whistle too. They won't admit that because then they would admit that there's a bias and they obviously wouldn't be doing their job. But they're human beings. Same thing if you bark at an ump, which is why catchers are generally very reticent to when they're hitting to light up an umpire because they know they got to get back there next inning and squat and, you know, get some calls for their pitcher. A couple of 50-50 pitches. It is what it is. Not the end of the world. Self-awareness, a great first step. But D-Cell's right. Before we fully laud him, let's see step two, and that would be the implementation of a cooler head, a little bit more sensibility. You know,
is he at the point yet though where he has a rep already with the refs? I mean, you mentioned the one that got rescinded because it was misinterpreted that he said end one. Is he at the point where he opens his mouth to, like you said, quote unquote, beg for a call, where he already has that reputation that they're just gonna tee him up?
Oh, absolutely. Remember, he had 13 technicals during the 2019-2020 season, which was top 10 in the NBA his first year in the, you know, as a kid. I mean, he was, I think he was seventh. He was definitely top. Yeah, he was seventh. So that was year one, and it's gotten a little worse. Yeah, he's got a reputation, but I don't think it's too deep, nor do I think he's the kind of, you know, Rodman type where the reputation is irreversible. Like, it got to a point with Dennis Rodman, no matter what Dennis Rodman did, you know, he could have come back wearing, you know, a cloak like priest gear, and he still would have been viewed as Dennis Rodman. But no, Doncic, and I don't think it's like venomous necessarily. And there's a big difference. It's just annoying. It's petty. It's whining. It's begging. It's not. I'm not saying he's had no incidents where he hasn't berated an official, but it's not like overtly aggressive and or disrespectful. It's just too often annoying. So just eradicate that from your game and continue your path of being one of the greatest players of this generation, which he will be if he stays healthy. Let's get the update from Ack. We'll come back. The Nets, they've lost four straight. All right. Harden's on the mend. That's good. But is there even enough time to get this thing going when all three play together and win a championship? We'll hit that after Ack right now. Here's Rich. Hey, tomorrow's a big day of sports coming up on CBS, starting at 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific with the National Women's Soccer League Challenge Cup Final. And then at 3 Eastern, noon Pacific, it's off to the golf course where some of the best in the game, and we'll be watching Phil, who was a little wobbly today after a stellar 64 on Thursday, but Phil's still hanging on the back end of the first page of the leaderboard, and he'll be competing, as will many others, the Wells Fargo Championship. It's all coming up tomorrow, only on CBS. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. Teague is out, and obviously back on Monday. So we'll do our thing. Next hour, CJ Nikowski, baseball, including we'll have a little. Actually, this will be great because yesterday we got into, it was in the blast, you know, is Willie Mays, he turned 90 yesterday, the great Willie Mays, is Willie Mays the GOAT? And listen, it's obviously subjective, and Teague and I knocked it around, but I want to throw it by CJ and get his thoughts on that. To me, you know, I've always thought that Willie Mays is the greatest player of all time. I think that Babe Ruth is the most iconic player of all time. But I've always said that Willie, and listen, I lean on people who saw him play. My dad's a huge baseball guy. He's the one who taught me the game, helped me fall in love with it. Maybe I'm a little, you know, influenced. Well, certainly, not maybe, definitely influenced by that. But, I mean, just the explosion, the deftness in the outfield, the power, the five-tool stuff. Boy, it's a fun discussion. So we could do that with CJ. Current stuff as well, including Albert Pujols. You know, should somebody kick the tires on him? Is he still remotely viable? And you know what? I'll also ask him, because I think that Albert Pujols, for me, is the greatest right-handed hitter that I've ever seen. Now, there's a few others that enter the equation. Manny Ramirez, but steroids many times, three times, I believe, at least three. The great Miguel Cabrera, who looks, unfortunately, kind of like Pujols right now, shot. But Miggy Cabrera is right there with Pujols. And CJ played the game, of course, top 10 pick out of St. John's back in the day. So we'll talk with CJ next hour. Sam Burns as well. He won last week at the Valspar. Have a little fun with golf. The Nets have lost four in a row. The Nets are not playing well. The Nets are running out of time as the regular season, you know, basically just about a week and a half away from being done. Overall, they've lost 5 out of 10, 4 straight. They're a game and a half. They're half a game out of the third seed now. So, you know, the probability of catching Philly, who they're 2.5 behind, is probably remote, but it's quite possible that they can fall into the third spot. And again, if they're whole, I don't think it's if they're whole and healthy, I don't think it's a big deal. I think the Nets could step on any, you know, any arena in the world. And if they've got Harden, Kyrie, and Kevin Durant doing their thing, they're probably going to outscore you and win. But that's the story. I mean, the Nets just, it's been a very uneven season. They've been hurt the entire year, and now they're all weighing in. I want to hear some of the sound, because I've not heard this. I read the paper, right? You know, read some of the articles this morning. But I want to hear the inflection and the tone. Is there decipherable urgency, which I would kind of like to hear a little bit, or is it just dismissed as, we'll be fine? So I'm going to roll through a bunch of sound here. First up, the head coach, Steve Nash, on a four-game skid.
What we're seeing right now as we get down to these games, we're playing high-quality teams that want to win for playoff seeding. It's a little bit of uncharted territory for this group. So this is good for us. We're not playing really well. We're not playing really sharp. We're right in it today. We had our chances for sure. We've had our chances the last three games. So what is it that can get us over the hump? I think the first thing is for us to continue to stay strong mentally, pick each other up to realize we got a lot of work to do. We keep working. We don't let this take the wind out of our sails, and we'll improve and get better.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I don't expect to hear Steve Nash grinding his teeth and lamenting, you know, what's transpired. There's been a few times this year where he's, I think, weighed in pretty honestly, pretty rawly, if you will. But I don't think he's got to, you know, dial up the urgency and just kind of manufacture some alarm now. I thought that was a very fair, very measured approach. But I was, and I am, more concerned with what are the players feeling? What are they thinking? First up, let's get Kyrie on the four-game losing streak.
It's about time we got tested, you know, in terms of just having to think the game on a different level, knowing that teams are shaping up for the playoffs. Done our best to make sure that we're ready to play, but now we got to think the game going against some of these good teams, especially on the road. It's been an adjustment for us to learn one another on the fly, learn each other's games on the fly. You know, 35 games with different lineups, you're learning on the fly. So, and we can say we're professionals. We know, what to expect from one another.
Okay, can't take issue with that. He's not wrong when he says they're being tested. They played in succession four pretty decent teams. Portland, they lost that, obviously, and they got crushed that game. Milwaukee, they lost by a three spot. They played them back-to-back. They lost by three, and then they lost by six, and then they lost at Dallas. So, Portland's obviously vying with the Lakers. Four playoff teams, right? The three playoff teams, four games, three of the four on the road. So I don't know that it's time to be overly alarmed because, quite frankly, I think that there should have been an element of alarm really all season. Various degrees, not ring the bell, season's over, the sky's fallen. But I think anybody who just sat back and said confidently, they'll be fine. I thought that was a little presumptuous on my end. Anyway, Kevin Durant on losing four straight. Here's KD.
And losing sucks. I mean, no matter what time of the year it's in, no matter who it's against, I mean, I've been feeling the same way about losing since I was 8 years old, since I started playing. So, it's always been about get up the next day and go back to work. So that's the same mentality I'm going to keep.
I think that's fine, too. I think there's a lot of guys like this in the NBA. Maybe not as many now as there were back in the day. Yeah, I know. Get off my lawn. My generation was better. No, but I really think that there were more players back in the day, and a lot of it was derived from finances where, they attacked the game rather than it, for some now, not that they don't work hard. Of course, they've got to keep themselves in shape, but it's a luxury, and they juggle that, and they juggle their social media accounts. And when you make, $20 million in a single season, that's the low end for a lot of these guys. The guys we just heard from are making 40. You can afford to allow human nature to creep in and let your guard down. But, with every ounce of my soul and my basketball fiber, Kevin Durant, I don't care what generation, and you could take issue, I know, took the easy way out, and he did when he joined Golden State. He was the best player on the team, but he still took the easy way out to get a championship. You can have a little contention with the fact that at least as I think and others do, and as Durant has taken issue with me personally, he wasn't ready to tackle the challenge that was the Knicks. I don't think he really wanted to roll up his sleeves and dig in that deeply on a situation that seemed unsalvageable. And here we are, 6 months into Thibodeau's reign, we see it was very salvageable, which is awesome for the Knicks and for the fans. But Kevin Durant hates losing, and Kevin Durant loves balling, maybe more specifically. I think of all the players in the NBA, and I've said this before, all the guys in the league, if there's one dude who wakes up, and Kobe was like this, obviously, of course, but who wakes up, the moment he opens his eyes, he's thinking basketball. I believe that that's Kevin Durant more than anybody in the NBA. I really do. D-Cell, do you agree with that? D-Cell, at his core, and we can't prove this clearly, but at his core, strip away the money, Strip away the IG, strip away the full arenas when there's no pandemic, strip away all the other business opportunities that have come his way, and he's done well with them. Strip away all that. Just take somebody, put him in a schoolyard, give him a ball. To me, Kevin Durant will stay there 10, 11 hours a day.
Kevin Durant is all basketball. Now, as far as someone with as much talent as him being all basketball, that's something in this generation we have not seen. Somebody that talented who just wants to sleep, eat, and breathe basketball. Everybody else is, you know, brands here, entertainment there. Kevin Durant is strictly basketball.
Yeah, I mean, he really is. And to be fair, I know he juggles a million things, but LeBron does too. I mean, LeBron is possessed to play. Now, LeBron's more Hollywood for sure, but I don't think he's that far behind Durant. I mean, I just think that, but I think Durant's special in that regard. Like, he's just an old school cat. And yeah, I mean, the glitz and certainly the money's awesome and the fame and everything that comes with it, the pedestals you're put on, he's also very sensitive. So I'm sure a lot of that he doesn't like, because with that comes criticism. That's why you have burner accounts, I guess. And that's why you clap back at me, even though I didn't really even say anything about him. But Durant's just a straight up baller. He's an assassin. How about this one? Final thing. And so far, I'm okay with what I've heard from the Nets. As we play a little psychologist here on the show. Lastly, from KD, how hard is it to play with so many injuries?
It's not tough at all. It's on us as players and professionals to go out there and be professionals. And coach put us in positions. Sometimes they might not be as comfortable as you're used to when it comes to different lineups and being in and out of it. But we're pros. We get paid to adapt.
Okay. And I love it too. No excuses. Now, that I agree with him for sure. You get paid to adapt. You get paid to play through it. But this is absolutely going to render an issue in the playoffs here. Now, Diesel, if I said to you, all right, you can only have two of the three, who would you take for the playoff run?
Obviously, I'm taking KD, and I'll take Kyrie. It's not necessarily I think Kyrie's the better player. I think he plays with KD better than Harden.
I think I might take Harden over Kyrie. I might leave at Kyrie. Boy, he got efficiency wise, he's gone down a little bit in the last couple of weeks here. But I mean, he's had one of his best seasons, if not his best season ever. I mean, Kyrie Irving's been incredible. And I don't trust Harden in the playoffs. But man, Harden before he hurt his hamstring, wow. Bottom line is they got a lot of talent, but the flip side is they still have a lot of questions. Little baseball coming up. CJ Nikowski joins me. Looking forward to it. Next, third hour, Tiki and Tierney.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.